Seats. Since the early 2nd century, the 25th of December has marked the birth of the baby who grew up to become, well, perhaps we could say the most influential person to have ever walked on this earth. So just for a few minutes, let me ask for permission to talk about the baby in the manger. I'm going to refer back to that first reading we heard. You can turn back to that on page 966 if you want to see where I'm getting what I say from this evening. And really, I just want to look at two names that were given to this child. As we ask, who is the baby in the manger? He was called Emmanuel and he was called Jesus. What does that mean? What's the significance of that? What do you make of the baby in the manger? That's my question for you, really, this evening. So let's begin by looking at the first of those names, Emmanuel. We're told this just by the number 23 on the page there. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. It means God with us. I wonder if you spotted in the news Albert Einstein's 1954 God letter, sold at auction just last week for a little under $3 million, about double what the expected price was for that letter. And in that letter, he writes, amongst other things, these words. He says, "The word God is for me nothing more than the expression and product of human weakness. The Bible, a collection of honourable but still primitive legends, which are nevertheless pretty childish." What do you think? Is the notion of God the result of human weakness? Is the biblical account just legend, fairy tale, childishness? Though I think we use that term poorly sometimes. Sometimes a child's perspective is so much better than a grown-up's perspective, isn't it? Or how about the perspective of the actress Emma Thompson? She puts it this way, "I'm an atheist, but it's not enough to say that I don't believe in God. I actually regard the system as distressing." Would you agree with her? Seems to me it's worth us looking at the baby in the manger, this undeniably influential figure whose teaching is almost universally venerated, even if some want to quibble in places with him. And then we observe that he, from his birth, was called Emmanuel. And we're told here that means God with us. Now, that someone gets called God with us doesn't mean there is a God or that that person is God, though if the title is truthful, that is what it would mean. But it certainly invites us to say more than that he was just a good teacher. As a Christian, I can sympathise with Einstein's wrestle with the notion of God. I have no particular desire to believe in God as such. I can empathise with Emma Thompson's distress. Yet I'm left to say, what's true isn't just about what's comfortable for us. And I'm still left to say, but what about the baby in the manger? What do you do with him? So let me make a suggestion to you this Christmas. Why not read the biographies of this baby in the manger? Why not start with Matthew's one, which is open in front of you? We've read the first chapter and a bit already this evening. Take the Bible that's in your hands. If you don't have your own copy of the Bible elsewhere, take it home with you. Receive it as a gift from us. Some of them are a little bit shabby, so if your neighbour has a better condition copy, you can take that with you instead. And if you know someone who comes here, well, they'd love to read that with you. Why not take the opportunity to do that? Let me say this, I don't believe in God because I want to. I believe because considering the baby in the manger, I'm left with no other conclusion that I can draw. That in him I find a God who came close, who made God known, who made the first move to end the speculation about whether or not there's a God. He's called Emmanuel. What do you make of that? And then secondly, we're told they gave him, have a look at the last verse of the chapter. The last sentence says this, "And he gave him the name Jesus." Now, at first glance, that seems a bit off, doesn't it? Matthew told us that they meant to call him Emmanuel and then they called him Jesus. So that's either a colossal error or something more significant than that. Well, we're told earlier that actually they were told they should also call him Jesus, right at the top line of that page. You're to give him the name Jesus. Jesus is the anglicized version of the name Joshua, which means God saves. Hence the definition there, because he will save his people from their sins. Some people look at this world very optimistically, don't they? And they say, oh, well, either all is well in the world, really, or whatever it is that is wrong, well, we can fix it. Seems to me that many ways of looking at the world, many religions look at things in that way. I wonder if that's how you see things. I entered into adulthood to the soundtrack of Professor Brian Cox's student band, D-Ream, who told us this, things can only get better. And that was at the turn of the new millennium, and maybe there was just a positivity in the air at that point. It strikes me as I get a little older that I'm not so sure we're so confident anymore that things will always just get better. It seems to be more agreed today that things, they're not the way they should be. This is not the world we all want it to be. Things are all not right, yet we can't agree what the right kind of world should be, nor how we would get there. But something's not quite right. Maybe you heard David Attenborough addressing the Climate Change Forum in Poland a week ago, warning of dire times ahead. And given the level of evidence that he and other scientists present, you'd think we'd be bending over backwards to invest in renewable energy. But not so much, it seems. Why don't we do that? I find myself agreeing with Charles Darwin, who said, there seems to me to be too much misery in this world. Or if you like your voices more contemporary, hear these words from Dua Lipa. All the sad things that happen are the things that linger on my mind. It's the same sentiment, isn't it? Meanwhile, Ed Sheeran, our great philosopher of our age, he's not the first to claim it this way. Everything will be okay in the end. And if it's not okay, then it's not the end. And I find myself agreeing heartily with him. But don't you want to say, Mr. Sheeran, with your millions of pounds and your ginger hair, Mr. Sheeran, how do you know? How do you know it's all going to be okay in the end? How do you know that? We want better, don't we? We know something is wrong, but we're left with the question, what can sort things out? How will it all be okay? And here's the claim of the Christian faith, that the baby in the manger is God with us, Emmanuel, come to be God who saves, Jesus. Which is to say, we can't fix it, and we don't have to. But he can. The story's been told this way. This guy's walking down the street when he falls in a hole. And the walls are so steep he can't get out. A doctor passes by and the guy shouts up, hey you, can you help me out? The doctor writes a prescription, throws it down into the hole and moves on. Then a priest comes along and the guy shouts out, Father, I'm down in this hole, can you help me out? And the priest writes a prayer and throws it down in the hole and moves on. Then a friend walks by. Hey, Joe, it's me. Can you help me out? And the friend jumps in the hole. And our guy says, are you stupid? Now we're both down here. The friend says, yeah, but I've been down here before. And I know the way out. That's the story of the baby in the manger. On Boxing Day, you will be able to go and buy Easter eggs and hot cross buns. And you can call that crass commercialism, if you want. But let this vicar tell you, it's really good theology. It's the right way to understand what's going on here. It's why we've sung about Easter as well as Christmas, even in the carols we've sung this evening. Because the baby in the manger came to die our death, to bring us into his life. Christmas and Easter are almost 4 months apart this year, so it really is crass commercialism to be selling them that early. But those two things, they go right together. In the baby in the manger, God has come close. He's reached out to us. And he didn't come to dazzle. He came to serve. He came to be baby-sized small, and then to shrink further down, even to death. Why? To save us. Not to save us from climate change, not to save us from whichever approach to Brexit you don't like, nor to save us even from our day-to-day problems. To be a Christian, to follow Jesus, doesn't make those things disappear. No, he died to save us from death. He died our death. Maybe you look at God in the manger, you look at the God on the cross, and you think, that can't be God. That can't be a saviour. I can understand that. But who says? Who says God couldn't look like that? And might it just be that the diving into a muddy pit to rescue us is more glorious than we can imagine? Might it be more glorious to appear weak and undignified when the reason for doing it is to rescue someone? This Christmas, give the baby in the manger another look. Ask the big questions. Ask why you long for what you long for. Ask yourself, who is this baby and why did he come? Ask yourself, could he be God come to be with us? Could he be God come to save us? It seems to me this season can be busy and noisy. And it's good to take a moment just to reflect on these things.